When I was 4 years old, I taught myself to read with our family encyclopedia. The article I read over and over was the one about birds, and the picture I stared at for the longest time was that of a resplendent quetzal. The word quetzal was strange and wonderful, befitting a truly strange and wonderful bird. Even though the picture was in black and white, I loved looking at the striking bird, its funky full head crest looking as if it had just poked its toe into an electric socket, and its lower back feathers that formed an amazingly long train that grew and grew beyond the tail. And the word resplendent was simply resplendent. Suddenly, everything I liked was resplendent. I'd say things like, "Mom, the Cheerios are so resplendent today," or "I washed the toilet until it's simply resplendent." I drove my family crazy, but it was worth it just to be able to use such a resplendent word. I was thinking about this when on April 4th, my birding group came upon a gorgeous male resplendent quetzal feeding on fruits in a leafy tree in Costa Rica. Unlike Cheerios and toilets, this bird truly deserves the word resplendent. His tropical green body feathers and brilliant red belly feathers were spectacularly beautiful, and when, after many long minutes of letting us gawk at him, he took off in flight, his long train flowing with beautiful ripples, I could feel my pupils dilate and my heart pound with the sheer visual pleasure. We were headed for the Sevegre Mountain Lodge, where we'd stay for the next 2 nights. Right on the grounds, behind one of the cabins, a pair of quetzals were nesting. We arrived after dark, but at 4 a.m, I woke up without an alarm clock and headed out to try to find the nest. I heard the quetzals a couple of times, but they're apparently quiet around the nest, so I needed light to actually find them. I saw glimpses of them flying through the twilight shadows, but didn't locate the actual nest hole until it was almost time for breakfast. I stayed with my group that morning, going up to one of the highest mountain tops in Costa Rica, disconcertingly covered with communications towers and inhabited by the few birds that thrive at high altitudes with the sparse alpine vegetation found there. By lunchtime, I was hungry for quetzals, not food, so I separated from my group for the rest of the day and parked myself within view of the nest. After an hour or so of watching the female fly in with food, come out again and fly off to return in 15 minutes or so with more food, Señor Chacon, the owner of the lodge, came past. Señor Chacon loves his quetzals and knows their habits intimately. He led me to a better vantage point, at which I stayed for the next 3 hours. The male stayed away all afternoon, but from where I stood, the female was often right over my head, looking down at me with cautious eyes. Little by little, she got used to me standing there and spent more and more time not looking at me, but attending to her normal business. I scientifically kept track of the time every time she flew in or out of the cavity while feeling a decidedly unscientific warm glow just to be in her company. Before twilight, the male started coming again, and for one brief time as he was poking his head out of the nest, she was perched on a branch right above him. I got a photo of the pair in the dim light. Next morning, I was back before light in time to see the female leave the nest for the first time that day and saw the male's first flight to the nest with food. When he was in the cavity, 2 feathers from his long train stuck out. I took photos of that. He only fed the babies a few times before he flew off, but every time I saw him in flight, that lovely train rippling delicately, I was thrilled. My group was packing up the bus and getting ready to leave to go to another place, so I finally had to go, with the female sticking out of the box watching me as I bade her farewell. I whispered thanks for the lovely time I'd had in her presence. My time with the quetzals was simply resplendent. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.